नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सर्वस्तुति प्रचिन्न बाहि सत्पुत्रा शतदृप्त्यं दशाभावं तुल्यमावृत सर्वे धारणौ स्नाथ प्रचित्तसः। ट्रांसलेशन के प्रचिन्न बाहि in the womb of Jain were equally endowed with religiosity, and all of them were known as the Prachittas. Purport. The word Dharma is not half significant, for the 10 children were all merged in the practice of religion. In addition, they possess all good qualities. One is supposed to be perfect when one is perfectly religious. Perfect in the execution of one's vows to render devotional service, perfect in knowledge, perfect in good behavior, and so on. All the Prachittas were on the same level of perfection. Text 14. Pitradista praja sarge dhapasajan dhapasanavama visham dashavarna saharshani tapasacham tapaspati tapaspati. Translation. When all these Prachittas were ordered by their father to marry and beget children, they all entered the ocean and practiced austerity and penances for 10,000 years. Thus, they worshipped the master of all austerities, the supreme personality of Godhead. Purport. Sometimes, great sages and ascetics enter the Himalaya mountains in order to find seclusion from the turmoil of the world. It appears, however, that all the Prachittas, the sons of Prachinna Bahi, enter the depth of the ocean to perform austerities in a secluded place. Since they perform austerities for 10,000 years, this incident took place in Satya Yuga, when people used to live for 100,000 years. It is also significant that by their austerity, they worship the master of austerity, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one wants to perform austerities and penances, one must attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one achieves the favor of the Supreme Lord, it is understood that he has finished all kinds of austerities and penances and has attained efficiency in their execution. On the other hand, if one does not attain the perfect stage of devotional service, all austerities and penances actually have no meaning. For without the Supreme Lord, no one can attain the highest results derived from performing them. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Lord Sri Krishna is the master of all penances and sacrifices. Bhaktaram Yagyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Thus the desired result of performing austerities may be derived from Lord Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated, Aho Bhata Sapachote Karyam Yad Jiva Gre Vartate Namatubhyam Te Pus Tapaste Juhu Sanshu Arya Brahmanuchu Nama Granantuyete. Even if a person is born in a family of chandalas, the lowest birth one can get in human society, he is glorious if he chants the holy name of the Lord. For it is to be understood that by such chanting, a devotee definitely proves that he underwent all kinds of austerities in his previous life. By the grace of Lord Chaitanya, one who chants the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, attains the highest perfectional stage, which had previously been attained by people who entered the ocean and executed austerities for 10,000 years. In this age of Kali, if a person does not take advantage of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, which is offered as a great concession to the human to the fallen human beings, of this age, it is to be understood that he is very much bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord. So here comes the verse which we'll read today. So I can read it and then we can all repeat. Yadutam pati drishtena Girishena prasidata Tadyayanta toja patanscha Pujayantascha samyataha. The Gautas? Master, the disciples should unhesitatingly think about the instructions or orders of the spiritual masters and should not allow himself to be disturbed by anything else. This is also the verdict of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, who, while explaining a verse of Bhagavad Gita, Ivayasat Mikha Bodhi Ekera Kuru Nandana, verse Bhagavad Gita 241, points out that the order of the spiritual master is the life substance of the disciple. The disciple should not consider where he is going back home, back to Godhead. His first business should be to execute the order of his spiritual master. Thus, a disciple should always meditate on the order of the spiritual master, and that is perfectional meditation. No one should meditate, not only should he meditate upon that order, but he should find out the means by which he can perfectly worship and execute it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnana Timiranga Swajana Jana Shalakaya Chakshuran Vetan Jena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Panchakal Patara Vischa Kripa Sindhu Veva Chal Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Krishna Bhyo Namaha. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So first of all, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity of sharing some realizations with all of you. At the moment, I'm just a simple student. I'm trying to learn a bit of Bhakti Yoga through these years. And it's always a challenge to come and speak in front of so many advanced devotees. So I apologize for my mistakes if they come in the way. And I'll just try to share with you some of my humble realizations on these readings. In the previous verse, it was defined through the example of the attractions of demigods and all the members in the marriage to the beauty of the bridegroom, that only by devotional service can one actually surpass the material energy. While the demigods and all the demons were attracted by the inconceivable beauty of the daughter of the ocean, Shutadratta. Is that her name? That's here. Shakyamuni, that's her name. Her beauty was so strong that everyone in the audience, or all the demigods, especially cited here, were attracted to that beauty. But the devotees could understand that that beauty belonged to Krishna and was being used in the service of Krishna, and thus this pointed out that bhakti is the only means which we can surpass the illusory energy. So that was the point in the previous verses. And now in this verse 13, something very interesting, because the sons were equally endowed with religiosity. That means they had the sanskar to be who they were. They went through the whole process which the Vedic literature offers for purifying one's existence of the sanskars, and by those sanskars they had the proper consciousness. So when they received the order of their parents or his father to marry and beget children, the first impetus which comes to mind is to worship the Supreme Lord, because they had all the sanskars. So that means that having the sanskars is important. Now, on this, our purpose of verse 14, Srila Prabhupada says that in the age of Kali, Lord Chaitanya has made it very easy. He says, even for a person born in the family of Chandra, the lowest birth one can get in any society, he is glorious if he chants the holy names of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very much knowing the qualities and the season of Kali Yuga, knew that all the cultures around the world would leave the standard which the Vedic literature presents as a good standard for taking up devotional service. So, performing his pastimes of Mahavandanyaya, he's giving what is most glorious to who is most fallen. And that's exactly my case. I could not say about how the devotees here, there's many glorious devotees. I think many of them have qualified Swabha Samskaras in here. But this verse is very significant because it's establishing that the chanting of the holy name is the most sublime and supreme goal. And by establishing that, Lord Chaitanya is also in line with the previous point that only through bhakti can we check material energy. And he says it's very easy, it's simply we'll chant, we'll take prasadam, and we'll associate with devotees here in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, personally speaking, as practicing bhakti yoga, many challenges arise on the way. Many challenges of identity, of vision, how to view difficulty, a disagreement, a problem in life, a different perception of the sastra. How can I deal with all that? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is establishing that he made it very easy. But once we have situated ourselves in the process of devotional service, we should strive to find that balance and define the goal. Because once the goal is defined, wherever I am is not as relevant if I know the goal. Let's say I want to travel to Delhi and I'm here, so I know what I have to do. But let's say I'm in Japan, it's a whole different method, but the goal is defined. So if the goal is Vrindavan, I know what I have to do to get to Vrindavan. So the question is not where I am now, the question is where is the goal and how can I adjust my sambandhagyan to meet that goal. So if I am in Japan, what means of transport will I have to take to reach Vrindavan? And those means of transport means that I have to have the proper ability and the proper consciousness. So all the sanskars is to reform our consciousness. They are really about how to bring our consciousness to the point of appreciating the personal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all the supplementary means that the Veda gives for us, they are as a supreme goal to bring the pure consciousness. And that's why it's not easy to find a pure devotee. It may be anywhere. It's not an external element. But at the same time as that established by Sri Chaitanya, that's an important point to be made, retraction is there. So the amount of attraction I have for Krishna shows some retraction from the material world. So that's why I can't keep myself attracted to the material world and at the same time attracted to Krishna, because the attraction goes either way. Now, as my attraction to Krishna is increasing and the retraction is increasing to the material world, then advancement is dynamic. I'm getting some tangible advancement. I can see that my attraction is growing. So very important for a bhakti yogi, especially coming from the background which I came from, definitely, which the impersonalism is so widespread. So I come to understand why Srila Prabhupada's pranam is he's eliminating all that impersonalism. We see by the way cities are designed today, you don't talk to people anymore, you talk to machines. You have a problem, you talk to a machine. The machine talks to you. You have a problem with your credit card, the machine talks to you. It's very personal, it's very not satisfying to the soul. If you see these huge apartment buildings, nobody knows anybody, it's very personal. And why impersonal? Because impersonalism leads to materialism. That's the natural consequence. If I'm God, naturally this world is for me to enjoy. So that's a trick which Maya puts on the materialists, is that finally they think they're going to find this great love without form. But actually that only leads to materialism. Of course, if someone has the comprehension of the Brahman as the ultimate source, he's better off than a Buddhist who thinks that there is nothing out there. And there was a logical reason for these pastimes to happen. The consciousness is growing from nothing, because people are not following the Vedas, to Shankaracharya, who is actually Lord Shiva himself, who came to re-establish the Vedas. And then from Shankara we have Ramanujacharya, and you have Madhvacharya, and then you have Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who finally established Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva. So in that way, consciousness is being built until the point where we have the most precious jewel, Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva. We can understand that we are sublime, divine, but at the same time, we are not God. We are the servants of that glory. And that's our constitutional position. That's why we were expanded by the Lord, so His pleasure would be bigger. Right? So this point is very important, that while having come from a background that this regulation is the main point, coming to regulation, I should understand that regulation is for bringing the consciousness to the point of understanding Krishna and developing a relationship with Him. Because that's where substance lies, in the relationship with Krishna. Nothing in this world has a standing without Krishna. So we can have our relationship with Krishna in many levels. Krishna is all, so He can be with us in any way we like. Either in personal, or in the nature, wherever, or in gross sense gratification, Krishna is in all these levels. But to understand Krishna as He is, we have to come to the point of a personal relationship with Him. And that's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stresses, as the only means of attaining our original identity, is chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Because He's then established the goal. And then we must be very skillful, and we must meditate very much on our actual Sambandha. Where am I standing in relation to that position? And how will I attain the ultimate goal of Krishna? How I'll satisfy Guru and Gauranga? And this leads to verse 15. Because all the sons had the proper consciousness and were desiring to please the Lord, Lord Shiva appeared as a Guru. Because Lord Shiva could understand their purpose. And the purpose was to satisfy the Supreme Lord. So in this sense, Lord Shiva is going to give them a song, a divine song, which glorifies Krishna from the creation until the pure love of the gopis. And Lord Shiva is very specific. He says, if you chant this, you develop love for God. This song should be chanted in specific times. That will be revealed as the chapter unfolds. The important point in this verse is that the disciple takes the mission of his spiritual master as his life and soul. And here, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse 241. So, I just brought for you his commentary. I'd like to read it for you. And it said, a Vaishnava told me that when Prabhupada read this purport, he became very, very enthusiastic to push on the mission which his Guru Maharaj had given, which were basically two instructions. Whenever you have money, print books and spread Krishna consciousness in the West. And this is the pramana. The evidence is in this room. Here we are, coming from all different parts of the world. This is the evidence that Prabhupada concentrated on his mission with his life and soul. So Vishwanath Chakravarti comments, with the verse beginning, Vyavasaya, Krishna desires that intelligent, absorbing devotional service is for superior to any kind of intelligence. The word iha means bhakti yogi in relation to devotional service. Intelligence fixed in devotional service is one-pointed. The process of devotional service prescribed by my spiritual master, such as glorying the Lord, remembering the Lord, and seeing and serving the lotus feet of the Lord, these alone are my sadhana, means. These alone are my sadhya, goal. These alone are my life. I am unable to give them up either at this stage of practice or perfection. They alone are my desired object. They alone are my occupation. I have no other occupation than these, nor is anything else desirable for me, even in dreams. It doesn't matter to me whether there is happiness or distress in this endeavor, or whether the cycle of repeated birth and death is destroyed or not. This kind of fixed intelligence is found only in akaitava bhakti, devotional service devoid of cheating propensity. So he continues, but it's very beautiful to see how he's meditating on the instruction of the spiritual master. And I'd like to share a pastime which we know all too well. Maybe even some of you were there when this happened. But in the beginning, at the very beginning of the movement which Srila Prabhupada started, Prabhupada wanted to spread this movement to England because his spiritual master had a great desire that Krishna consciousness was preached in London. So much so that he sent sannyasis to London, and they didn't achieve the result. They came back saying, it's not possible for the Western people to catch the Vaishnava philosophy. It's simply not possible. They came to that conclusion. And Srila Prabhupada desired to serve his spiritual master, fulfilling this desire he had. And so, he was contemplating, and there was an English devotee called Annapurna. So that's written in the Lilamrita by Sarasvati Maharaj. And her parents were from England, and he asked her if her father would arrange a house for the devotees to stay. But sadly, she said her father couldn't do that. He could arrange a place for her to stay, but not for all the devotees to stay. And then another devotee named Pradyuman, that's at least what it said there, he mentioned to Prabhupada how a Mayavadi was traveling through Europe, and a very important, influential person was arranging lectures all over Europe for him. So Prabhupada thought, not very consistent. Here I have a shy devotee who her father can't get a place for us. On the other hand, we have this impersonalist magazine, and he told Prabhupada, we don't have anything to do with impersonalism. This is not practical. So what did he do? He asked three couples to cross the ocean and to do that. Mukunda, Prabhu at the time, Shama Sundara, and Gurudas, and their respective wives. Malati, Janaki, and Janana, the three Matajis with their husbands, which were very important, and Saraswati as a baby was there. So Prabhupada took them for 2 months in Montreal because he thought only the pure chanting is able to attract his souls. He thought the reason the sannyasis were not successful is that because they're not introduced to chanting first. They introduced the philosophy first. So I'll introduce the chanting first. So he took all the couples to Montreal for 2 weeks to do an intensive course on pure chanting. And then he set them off. And they were extremely eager, and they were meditating on the order of the spiritual master. And it's so incredible how you see a connection between how Prabhupada satisfied his spiritual master and the faith Srila Prabhupada had in his disciples. He believed they could do it. They had just come from a very different background. Very different background. And he believed they could do it by meditating on the order of his spiritual master. So they crossed the ocean, they traveled, and they discovered in the port that they didn't have the money to get into England because we needed to have a certain amount of money to get to England. So one couple went through, wired the money, another couple went through, and wired the money, and all the other details we all know too well from Satsarup Maharaj. The point I wanted to make is simply by meditating on the order of the spiritual master, it is possible to satisfy Krishna. And here, Vishwanatha Chakravarti is saying that success or failure is up to the spiritual master and Krishna. So, our challenge, at least very much my challenge, is to see that I'm not distracted from serving my spiritual master because it's not for me, because it's for him. That I don't care because it's not for to build a company which is live until today, which we take so much inspiration from them, from so many other devotees which have applied the same principle of meditating on the order of the spiritual master. And that meditation alone is able to perfect oneself by taking the holy names of the Lord with extreme consideration and seriousness and trying to improve our own self. So I'll stop here. I've already spoken very much. I know there are so many senior devotees which could shed some light on the topic or questions. Okay, Hare Krishna. There is a mic. No? No mic? You want to? Because there are the other people on outside, they wouldn't be able to understand.
Thank you. These last verses in this chapter of the Bhagavatam have a lot of information about marriage, and but not any information. You know that divorce is, although it's really discouraged, you know, like there's a, I think there's a policy in Mayapur that only finance ministers and TOPP are allowed to divorce. Most people, they get divorced in this community, they're banned for some time, and there's other places where there's very, divorce is discouraged so much, but we have so many relationships that people are seem to be suffering with one another. Like if Mataji has an abusive husband, then divorce is a process of natural selection that she can get out of that bad relationship and get distant from the bad guy and then become available for Mr. Right. So why isn't divorce encouraged or even talked about in these Vedas? Yeah, why is it discouraged? Divorce seems like, you know, a necessary thing for a lot of people.
Okay, the idea is simple. The idea is that all we do is an offering to the Supreme Lord. So marriage, rather than be an institution for satisfying my own senses, is an institution
to glorify the Lord and to offer the results to the Lord. So in that sense, if I think, what would be the best setting for a child? Would it be to have a situation where one parent is here, one parent is there, there is fight over the guardianship of the child, or a setting where the two live a very pious life with all the sanskars which lead to a perfect setting for devotional life. The emotional background is very important to take devotional service, because by having that connection with another, which starts at the moment before the umbilical cord is cut, but in Dharmashastra it is described that before cutting that umbilical cord, the ceremony of pouring the ghee and honey should be performed so that the child has intelligence, and then it's cut. So just analyze how much detail does Krishna provide to have a perfect setting for an offering. Let's put it another way. Let's say you want to make an offering for the deity, and all you have is potato and a few leaves. You can do that. It's possible to do. Right? But if you have a great, it's a going plate with potatoes, right? It's you put in the oven with cheese and cream, it becomes a lot more, let's say, appreciative by everyone. So because our background is so full of non-regulation and the idea that the world is for me to enjoy and to conquer, it's sometimes challenging to face. Now if the situation has happened already, what can you do? The best you can. So that will be giving whatever best you can from that situation. It's already done. The divorce has happened. But that does not mean that the divorce is a situation which ideally would give the children security, a sense of belonging, a sense of security with community. You see, community is based on families. And families are based on principles and values, which are based on the Shastra. If the family is Krishna conscious, the community is Krishna conscious, everything is peaceful. Everything runs around Krishna. Everybody feels secure to give himself or whatever he has to Krishna, because he knows his shelter. But once we take to this modern principle, everyone is by himself, I have my money, I don't care for my neighbor because I'm secure, I depend on money. That's all until there is a problem with the source of money. But if right now there was a crisis, all the cash machine had a problem, we might be in trouble. I mean, I don't know if someone has money under the mattress or other places, but, you know, living from the land is something which is being conquered. So, the security we put on money, I can go, I can do a little bit of sankirtan and get the money and then I'm secure for the time being, is a temporary arrangement, which if there is an economical crisis, doesn't last. So, where do I want to get? If we have values, if we have families Krishna conscious, if we have a community with Krishna conscious, then we can take advantage of the two very important economical assets which Srila Prabhupada has given us. He says two things. Simple living, high thinking. If we have a simple living and we know how to grow food, how to take our needs from the land, and we distribute books, anything which is desired automatically comes. Because let's say you need to build a temple, the whole community can do a massive book distribution, and by doing that, we'll meet so many rich Vaishyas like Bila, who will be interested in helping sincere people. And then it comes. So Prabhupada really has given us two very important economical assets, which is living from the land, based on Krishna conscious, which is also a standard for Krishna conscious family. Okay? Who is then connected to a Krishna conscious community. And that balance will bring us to a setting where we can trust authority, where we can have a community, where we can chant the holy names together, and we can follow scripture. But at the moment, we still bring our conditioning with us, so it's not all the time clear. But we should endeavor to see that as clear as we can. The clearer we see, the best we can take advantage of the holy names. Because by seeing the qualities of the Vaishnavas, by appreciating the qualities of Vaishnavas, then I'll be appreciated by the Lord. So coming back to your question, the question of divorce is not encouraged because it's not a question of enhancing Krishna consciousness. It diminishes. There's so much difficulty with it.
Right?
So, but Prabhupada said the third generation would be more in line with the samskaras. So in that sense, our hope and our endeavor, our prayers is that we're working for to build a setting which can be very conducive to their Krishna consciousness and to their acceptance of the samskaras. Now, as we mentioned, divorce, as we talk about, is not encouraged. But it's mentioned in Shastra that when a time comes in the life of a devotee, of two devotees, Prabhu and Mataji, that Krishna consciousness is so prominent that the relationship is not so prominent any longer as a relationship, but rather now what's important is Krishna. Sometimes it may happen that sannyasi comes and then there goes this illuminated devotee, illuminating the whole world. He goes from his family to the world as a family, and that's so important for us because he brings that pure essence of bhakti, that purity he brings and he delivers all of us. And likewise, the Mataji goes on with her bhajan. If she prefers to stay with the family, she will, but if not, she can stay with him and go on until she's comfortable with that lifestyle and chant. We have many examples today in ISKCON. Devotees, Matajis were very advanced. We had the Vaishnava retreat. I had some excellent reports on that. It is so beautiful, so Krishna conscious, only Krishna conscious. So that would be a natural way. Naturally. Okay? Is that okay? Anyone has a question?
I have a question connected with the class given by Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj, but it's also connected with Shatadruti and what you also read today, so perhaps you can shed some light on it. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Shatadruti's beauty was so great, but when the wife produces a child, she becomes more beautiful. And then child after child after child, she becomes more and more beautiful. And indeed, she had 10 children. So could you explain how it is that the wife becomes more beautiful with each successive child? Thank you.
But what could I say? it's not only distances between points. Let's say the perfect balance between eyes and mouth and ears and hair and color. Right? Beauty has many elements. It's also that, definitely. But it's very nice to see how mature mothers come, how beautiful they are, how everything is beautiful around them. There's so much peace. You know that jittiness of teenagerhood has gone, and a certain wisdom, which is very beautiful too, has said about them. The house is beautiful, it's nice and you're running smoothly, rather than running around with your friends and making a lot of noise. That's beautiful, as you take the female beauty as itself. So when we analyze beauty as the element of I'm a man, and then I want to see beauty in its maximum blossom form for me to enjoy that beauty. That element will make a question, how come? But even if you take that element of blossoming, a mother with children, she's realized, she's peaceful. She has certain qualities which are very dear to a community. She's a wise person to advise, you know? She's a great asset for the husband. She has great advisory capacity. She's very pragmatical. All of this is beauty, isn't it? And so if we just take the beauty as skin, then we might get, you know, all these plastic surgeons a great job. But if you take beauty as itself, as a full opulence, the biggest beauty Krishna has, right? Feminine being the element which produces variety and therefore pleasure to Krishna, then by having children there is no variety. And here there are 10 sons. So just imagine this mother, she is the wife of the emperor of the world, and with 10 incredible children, all with all the sanskar to go and meditate. How beautiful it is to see her in that state, royal state, with all her children, right? So in that sense, that's my perception, beauty is enhanced in all our soul sides. Prabhuji has a question.
Hare Krishna. In relation to the question about divorce, I would like to read something. It is actually from the previous chapter. It is chapter 23 and it is the text 25 from the purport. And I'm aware this is not the only thing that Srila Prabhupada ever said on the subject, but Srila Prabhupada did write this. Quote, in Vedic civilization, the husband and wife were not separated by such man-made laws as divorce. We should understand the necessity for maintaining family life in human society. In human society, and should thus abolish this artificial law known as divorce. Unquote.
Yeah, that's the standing, the Vedic standing, because what Prabhupada establishes the goal. So that's the goal. The goal is to have families Krishna conscious. So in that sense, it's not at all a good thing. But your person, and if it has happened, what to do? So the point is, Prabhupada is saying, from today on, no divorce. But if it has happened, then what to do with it? So his discourse is very interesting because Vedic means progressive towards Krishna, and divorce is not progressive towards Krishna. You know, it's something which makes it more difficult, sharing with more. It's something which like civilization to appreciate that to the deepest. If you see a village, you'll appreciate that quote very much. How everybody is so tied in relationship, how everybody is so concerned about the village, a mother who is feeding all the children of the village. You know? It's very beautiful to see. When I was a child, sometimes I had the opportunity to travel with my father in India, and he showed me one or two villages, and we had little experience, you know, but it was very shocking for my mind, how nicely woven the village was. We were foreigners, but they accepted us as friends. We sat in their rooms, they did the best. So, to understand that, quotation Prabhu said, we must have this vision of what is a Vedic civilization, the beauty it carries. It's not only about religion. We take it sometimes a thing, this is my religion. No, it's about civilization. It's something which encompasses everything in the universe, all aspects of life. You know?
Oh.
Prabhuji there has a question. Thank you. What's your name?
Lochan.
Well done, Lochan. That was very brave of you to come here. Thank you very much. And the first spiritual master, Lochan, is Sri Krishna. Everything expands from him, you know. And these energies which see around us comes from him. He expands that, so he has a bigger perspective of interaction. So we too were expanded to give more pleasure to Krishna. And like that, he's the first spiritual master. And that's why we say, param, para, param, para, guru disciple, guru disciple, guru disciple, guru disciple, until we get to Krishna. So Krishna gave this knowledge, and it came up to this book which I wrote, and I'm trying to tell you what I understood. And that's what we're trying to do. Okay? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I want to go to advanced planet, upper planet. Now I am performing bhakti yoga, devotional meditation. So will it help me to reach there? Heavenly planet, upper planet. I am now performing devotional service for Krishna. So will this devotional service help me to reach there?
Certainly, I mean, your intelligence calculated right. The best process to get anything of the universe is devotional service. That's why the pious is leading to the devotional planets. Right? But what we have, what this book has to tell us is that you can go there. Actually, for most devotees, that will be the simplest solution which would happen. And Prabhupada is warned, be careful. If you go there now, you live for 10 years, and then you come back and you find the Kali Yuga season very much advanced. So it will be very difficult to be pious. Right? Plus, going to the spiritual planets means that you continue with the same problem we have now. We think we are the ones we are controlling and enjoying. right? But that's not what the Vedic system is. What Bhagavatam is telling us, our original identity is different from that. But because we're in contact with this material nature, we think like that. So, if you want to go to the heavenly planets, that's already what's happening. But if you want to reach your ultimate goal, then Prabhupada is saying, then you should take serious devotional service and adjust your consciousness. You see, because wanting to go to heavenly planets for most Indians is something very automatic and easy because they are already pious. That will be their destination anyway. Now let's say you had a ticket to Navadvip, 150. Okay? And you want to buy some rice. Okay? In the market. And I'm going to give you 40 rupees to buy. Okay? After 1 month your rice is going to finish. Okay? Then you have again to buy 150 and go to Navadvip to buy some more rice. Okay? But here, Srila Prabhupada is telling you where the rice source is. Who gives rice? Who gives life? Who gives dana? Who gives everything? Krishna, the supreme abode. And if you change your consciousness, instead of getting so little as going to Navadvip, you get to go to where Krishna lives and be part of his eternal pastimes. So Prabhupada is saying that's a foolish idea. Because when you come back, you don't have a guarantee that you continue your pious deeds because Kali Yuga will be so heavy that someone will be trying to eat you. There will be someone on the corner of the club looking out to kill you, to eat your meat. So how will you be pious then? And let's say you're not pious, you end up in hellish planets, and then for how long will you be kept in samsara? So just see, to find your spiritual master, as Sasha says, is as easy as one turtle who is way down in the ocean coming up. And there's a little wood with a little hole which just fits the head of the turtle and the turtle fits. So you have come to that situation, which is very rare. Now, would you decide to go to Navadvip or you decide to go back to Godhead? You see? It's a decision which we may make, but it's not wise. Because Prabhupada says the most dangerous thing in this universe is the animal form of life. And what guarantee do we have? Demigod life appears to be 10,000 years, but for them it's 100 years all the same. The experience is 100 years. They have the same problems. Right? You live in a neighborhood, probably next door there's a bigger house, a bigger, richer family. They are also. And when your time finishes, then what happens? How you know? Your girl wills. You know it's time to go. So very, very suffering. Apparently it's good, but just apparently it's a trick from Germany to keep you there. Oh, you go there, then you come with pious consciousness, you go up, you come down, you go up. Who knows that you're going to keep the cycle? And also, human activity is always full of faults. Who knows that you will make a fault in one of them and fall down, and whoever knows whenever you're going to come back. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swayam Gaura himself has come to say, Chant Hare Krishna, come to me and be my eternal servant, my eternal associate. So in that situation, it wouldn't be wise just to go to Navadvip to buy some rice.
Spiritual master
orders to preach, Prabhupada ordered us to preach. So how we can give up our attachment for staying in dham like Vrindavan or Mayapur and settle down, means the mind does not want to go and do preaching outside, you know, say Western country or even India, whichever city, you know, because the option is there to stay in dham. But at the same time, we know that we have to please Prabhupada, you know, yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada. So by book distribution and Harinam Sanketan. So, but we are holding back to keeping in the dham, self, this. So can you say something, how we can give ourselves fully to them?
Well, the first thing you must consider is to be a Mayapuri means that you want to give Krishna to others. To be a Dhanvasi means you want to give Krishna to others. So when someone has established himself in the Dham with that consciousness, it's none different. And whatever he does is for that benefit. And if he has to go out and distribute books, he will go very happily. If the opportunity for him is, if that's his service, then the opportunity is there. He should go. He should go. Now you see, the idea is that we're always conditioned by time and space. So we recognize the Dham, the original Dham, as this place. So I want to be here because this place is the place where the Lord made his connection. His yoga pit is here, so that would be very auspicious, you know. But that comes in the first moment of devotion. As devotion matures, the consciousness will shift to what I need to do in life is to enlighten others. Why do I need to do that? Why do I need to do that? Because that's what an advanced devotee should do. So if I want to go out and preach, it means I'm advancing. Right? But also, you have to consider there are many services. Some, the Guru has said, stay here and worship the deities. Some, stay here and develop the project. Some, you have to develop education here. And that's their service. Now, if this person is doing that service in the mood of the Guru, of the spiritual master, and there's an opportunity to give Krishna either out as a book distributor, or as a lecturer, or as a community organizer, or as limited options of giving Krishna, he will do that. The point is, we are usually thinking, what benefits can I take? That's where the question arises from. The spiritual master is saying give, and I'm saying what benefit can I have? But the fruit is for Krishna. You see, that's the real point. The fruit which we want to offer is for Krishna. So, if in my Sambhavigyan I still need the fruit for myself, I should recognize that, understand the goal, and make my development. So book distribution definitely is an instruction that Srila Prabhupada gave, and it has many formats, many more formats to come. You know, many others. We know some formats so far, but who knows what other formats these books will take. You know? Some Sankirtan devotees even say they have the address written on the way, they're just going, we're just delivering them, just instruments. Anyway, the balance here is the consciousness. This movement is about self-realization, which means understanding who we are, who is Krishna, and what's the process of connection. So the spiritual master wants us to give Krishna. That's his desire. And for that, we ourselves must be enlightened. We must do it ourselves. How can I do that? Is that my service? Let me do it. why am I doing it? What's stopping me? Then you contemplate, and when contemplating, you do it. If it says some problem, okay, you rectify, you go on. But that's the meditation, how to satisfy the spiritual master. And that's by individual, there will be different arrangements. Family arrangements, educators arrangements, management arrangements, many arrangements, you see? So our tendency would be to choose one sect of service and declare this is the universal service. But it's a mood which is universal, giving Krishna. If the chance for giving books is there, I should do it. Pleases Prabhupada so much, pleases the Acharya so much, because the books convey the knowledge. If I can do Harinam, pleases all the gurus, pleases all the Acharyas. So I should have the consciousness of giving Krishna. That's my understanding. So we went here. Shall Prabhupada ki jai.